Second Chronicles, chapter 10. Is this one? Yeah. And Rehoboam went to Shechem. For to Shechem were all Israel. Make sure that ain't me. I heard a phone ringing. It ain't me. Well, me, not that time. Not that time. Thank the Lord. For in Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. They just changed powers. Solomon has died. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whether he had fled from the presence of Solomon, the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. Let me ask you something. If Jeroboam was afraid of Solomon and left, and now he's heard that Solomon's dead, and Rehoboam is in control, and he says it's okay to come back, what was going on between Rehoboam and Jeroboam? Something there. Hey, something there, Brother Jeff. Let's read on. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put on us, and we will serve thee. You want that translated? Let's pray. Because translation might take longer. Father, I pray you'd help me. God, touch my unworthy lips. God, honor the reading of your word. Honor the preaching of your word, I pray this morning. Bless this church. Bless these good people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Excuse me. I come home from the meeting, and the air conditioning, you don't have to pay for the electricity in a hotel. And so we try to use all we can. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Keep it just as cool as you can. Not even considering the fact that your allergies is going to swell up and your head's going to stop up. And so I had to take me some sinus medicine this morning. But as it's working, I've still got a thing going on in the throat. We're living in the world of pills. Yeah, amen. Hey, it's a pill for everything. Thank God for some of them. You that's on medicine, you have to take medicine. Thank God that they figured out something to help you. Amen. I take sinus medicine and antihistamines, just makes you feel so. But thank God for Excedrin. 32.5 milligrams of caffeine in every tablet. I call it the 1-2 medicine. One antihistamine, two get you back on track. Amen. He said this. He said, and he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days, and the people departed. Now, Jeroboam has asked if we can come back, and he reminded him, your dad was way, 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 way too grievous for us. I'll say it like this, Brother Gary. Your old preacher was just way too hard. Do you know why the troubles in America is going on like they are right now? because the old time preaching is out. Where preachers used to get up and preach on sin and call it out. I mean, nobody wants to be referred to as a liar. But if someone lies, what is he? Nobody wants to be referred to as a thief. But if someone steals, no one wants to be referred to as a fornicator. But if they're living a life of adultery, nobody wants to be referred to as a backslidden person. So in the hour we live in, we've taken some things and just took a pen and erased them off the notes. Said, don't mention this because it'll offend somebody. And the ones that got mad and was offended and left and said, I'm going over here to Egypt. They don't nobody talk to me like that. No, not out there in the world. They cussing God. Out there in the world, they having a beauty pageant where everybody's naked. I'm trying to put us in here where everything is out there, and they don't want to be at the house of God where you're encouraged to read and encouraged to pray and encouraged to witness, encouraged to be kind, encouraged to be a blessing to somebody. Because that means that I'd have to take the... Excuse me just one minute. I'm about so sick of selfies. I'm about so sick of selfies. You can tell who loves selfies the most. Look at them. And the one that's always in the front... Here's what a selfie does. It's a momentary smile. It's just for the moment. Girls are great at it, and some men are too. I can't. We take family pictures, Bud John, and they say, "Smile, Dad." I said, "I am smiling. I can't do it. I can't." Brother Andrew, are you with me? Can you help me? Can you testify? Your wife can smile, look like she's been doling meals. Me and you smile, we're like, wow, what's wrong with them? Y'all just had pictures made, didn't you? Did you get them done yet? Okay. I wasn't thinking about it. I said that. A lot of the Christian life is a temporary, just on the moment thing. But it's more than Sunday morning. It's more than Sunday night. It's more than Wednesday night. It's not just for the big smile from others, but from Him. Let's look on. And King Rehoboam, verse 6, took counsel with the old men. Well, I'm going to tell you why a lot of people don't want to take counsel with the old man, because most people anymore do not even know an old man that they want to take counsel from. Brother Gary was talking about Jared preaching the other night. He says, I'm going to tell you why God's using Jared like He is. He says, every message I've heard Him preach, He refers to the old men. Somewhere in the message. I had not even noticed that. But Brother Gary says, he's reflecting on the old men. if we look back on the old man, a lot of times we're thinking, yeah, but they're not doctrinally straight. And you think you are? I like what Brother Jack said about that. Brother Jack said, we all going to be surprised when we get to heaven and find out what kind of heresy we taught. Just because you read it different. One day you dropped your pen and put a comma in there and it's accidental, you know, and you're like, whoa, let me look at that again. And Rehoboam took counsel with the old man that had stood before Solomon, his father. Old man, Brother Kyle, old man. And the Bible says this, they stood before his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? You know what he done? Brother James, he started out right. He went to the right place. Started out right. Brother Tracy, he went to the old man. I know a lot of you don't believe this, but Brother Tracy, Brother Gary, Brother Larry, there's a lot of folk, even in this church, they think y'all are old men. I knew you wouldn't believe it. You don't feel old. And to me, you look real young. But if you ask Jonah, if you ask John Owen, if you ask some of the younger people, one of Brother Daniel's girls, does he look old to you? And they're like, oh my goodness, yeah. Hey, Noah, Abraham. That just comes, and as they get older, and now I look now at the older men, I'm thinking, Brother Leroy is really not all that old. He's only about 76, 77, something like that. That ain't that old. Not my eyes. It's right around the corner. It'll be here quick, Brother Donnell. What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? These people left because of the hard, restricted, preaching, lives, rule, however you want to say it, of my father. And now he's dead, and now they want to come back. Because we're friends. I mean, they wasn't friends with my dad. But I've maintained a friendship. Can I tell you, look up here just a second. I want to give you an example. You've got to look at it. And it'll also let me know that you're not asleep. So, I want you to see something right here. If this is Solomon, and this is Jeroboam. And right here stands Rehoboam. And Jeroboam can't speak and don't even want to be around Solomon. But there's fellowship with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Chances are great Rehoboam has been holding something back from Dad to be able to maintain the fellowship with Jeroboam. Chances are great Rehoboam is thinking along the same lines as the backslidden, rebellious. I'll go build my own city in Egypt. Jeroboam. Well, this one here dies. He ain't there no more. He ain't in the picture no more. Here he comes. Hey, cuz. How you doing? I heard the old man died. Word got out. He ain't in control no more. Heard you are now. I just want you to know, I'd love to come back. I'd love to come back. I'd really love to come back. Sit up under you. Be up under your rule. You mark this down, friend. You listen to what I'm telling you. You hear me? he left with a foul spirit, he'll come back with a foul spirit. And Rehoboam is a appointed king that has no wisdom. He knows what he should do. He went to the old man for advice. But the old man told him something he didn't want to hear. I can prove that out of the Bible. The Bible says that the old men are to teach the young men. The older women are to be an example of the younger women. The Bible says this, "What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people?" Now, y'all should have shouted a while ago. Now, I didn't know you was going to be here this morning, so don't get nervous if you're visiting. I didn't know what you was even going through this morning, so I didn't call you and ask you about the message before we ever started preaching, did I? "And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servant forever." You know, that's real good except for one thing. Are you listening? Young people, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. You don't always need pacifying words. You don't always need, "Son, you look so handsome this morning." I mean, it does sound good. I'm not going to deny that. I'll go over to Mama sometime, maybe before church on Wednesday night or whatever, and she'll say, "Son, you look so good today." And I can't help it. My head just swells. And then I walk out saying, "Lord, forgive her. Amen." I know she stretched it right there. But she loves me so much. She's just, you know, Ethan, your nanny, she probably says the same stuff about you. And forgive her for stretching it. But if you'll just, the instruction that I give you, if you'll take it and use it, it will not consist of all these braggadocious words. Brother Mike Norman, the other night, at the meeting, the other day, the other morning it was at the meeting, his son came in. Brother Mike was standing behind the pulpit. His son is stationed in Hinesville. He's in the Army, I think it is. He's stationed in Hinesville. And whenever he come in, he had to meet some people and take care of some debts. Sometimes getting in a hurry will cause you to have some debts on the highway. And he come in, and Brother Mike was in the middle of talking, saying something, trying to encourage people. And he walked around that back door back there, just like ours, and he's got on his dress blues. I mean, everything that he could have that he's earned since being in the Army, he's all the decoration that he's got on, he's got it. Brother Mike stopped right there. He said, "Come here, Grant." And that boy just, I mean, everything stopped. And he walked right down the middle of that highway up there on that platform. And that old preacher just grabbed him and hugged him. And I heard it. I heard it when he kissed him on the neck. You say, "I ain't kissing no man because you ain't got a son." Because you ain't got a son. You get one, your mind will be different than that. But Destin, you take that little old boy, and I know you and Mom both, y'all kiss him enough to put blisters on him. Can I tell you something? That won't never stop. It don't bother me one bit. My boy's 30 years old. I promise you, if you walked in here this morning, I'd hug his neck. I'd kiss him on the neck. Abe, you say something about it, I'm going to... Boy, the devil like to got me just right there. You hear me? He like to got me right there. Solomon's son has went for advice, and the advice that he got was, if you do all of this, you'll always keep them even though they're not like you. That makes sense, did it? If you give them this advice, they'll always stay with you even though they're not like you. But if they stay with you and they're not like you, what are they going to do for you in your reign? So let's see where he went to. Them was hard words for Rehoboam. Them was words Rehoboam didn't want to hear. Grant was, he's been in the army, and Brother Mike was telling me about this. In the military, I forget who told me, I don't know who it was. I know who it was. He's not here this morning, thank the Lord. In the military, every few minutes of the day, there's a military soldier that's taking his life. I'm not trying to put salt in a wound if you know someone like that. But Tim, throughout the military forces of America, most of that happens on the young, on the new recruits. Because somebody's talking to them like they ain't never been talked to before. Somebody is saying, sit down. So I can't talk to my son. I can't raise my voice to my son. He'll never be nothing. He'll be a ta-ta all his life. I don't know what a ta-ta is, but it don't sound very masculine, does it? Maybe I shouldn't use words that I don't know what they mean. It might mean something else that I shouldn't be saying in church. Amen. I ought to be cautious about that, John. And these young men are taking their lives because they cannot stand somebody telling them the right way. Because mom and daddy wouldn't. Mom and daddy gone. Mom and daddy's gone. They own the town. Saturday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I mean, they just living the life. They forgot they have a family. They forgot they got children. They forgot that they got responsibilities. And now Rehoboam can't even see that this man that would not listen to his father instruct has come around and says, think it'll be all right? Your dad was kind of grievous toward us. I know it don't seem like it, girls. I'm telling you. Hard preaching will help you. Hard preaching will help you. I promise I'll never preach to y'all to try to hurt you. I promise you that. You might leave here thinking, man, he was just mad at the devil this morning. That's exactly right. Mad at the devil. Not as the devil, but at the devil. Because here this guy comes back, and here he is now, that he's trying to weasel his way back into this old country where he used to be. Verse 8, but he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him. But he forsook the counsel of the old man, which the old man gave him. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him. Are you listening? And took counsel with the young men. You know who they were? His friends. and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him. Friends, you know what old men do? The old men just say things that are hard. My dad used to say things that was hard to me. I mean hard, Brother Bradley. He said things that was hard. I'd bring a report card in. Oh, I mean, I was thinking about jumping off the roof. I'd just about rather jump off the roof than to show him that report card. I know all you straight A's and all that stuff, y'all were coming home glowing. Wasn't like that where we lived. Does anybody know where I'm at? Is there? Wow, glory to God. I mean, I felt like I was all alone for a second there. And if you ever told him you couldn't, man, you just got one of the worst lectures you ever heard in your life. He said, son, you can do anything I tell you to do. He said, now you might not want to, but you can do what I tell you to do. And you are going to do it. The reason that he said that was because he knew if he didn't push me, I'd quit. So what I did was, as I got older and I got a job and I got a car, I just quit hanging around the house as often. I went to work, came home, showered, shaved, gone till after he was in the bed. So I wouldn't have to take counsel. And he said unto them, what advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that the Father did put upon us. Not only did the people that left him complain, but the people that were still there was complaining. My old preacher, I don't believe ever for one moment that he ever said anything or done anything to try to hurt me. He was hard, Brother Gary. You knew who he was, but you really didn't know him. People talked about him because he was so hard. I've seen the wolves gang up on him. He came into this church one night for a meeting with some wolves that turned on him not even just a couple of weeks after he just had open heart surgery. Not only myself, but several other of the men that was here said, why didn't you tell us we'd have come with you? You know why he didn't tell it? Because it was his battle. It was his fight. And he had to show a church that he could do the fight. He took counsel from old men. I'm just trying to warn you this morning. Don't go to somebody your age to try to get wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, what makes you think they do? Most of the wisdom that'll come from them old men is life's experiences. You don't have that. You don't have that. And it might be that your mom or dad may not have it either. Because I've seen a lot of parents that were still young and had children, but they didn't have the wisdom that Solomon would have had. I don't even know why God gave me this morning. I just hope it helps somebody. I'm just saying, where the Solomons are, And I'm not saying I'm one of them. I will say I'm the shepherd here.
Amen.
I mean, that's just the position that I have of David right here. I'm not saying that I've got wisdom like Solomon had. I'm not saying that. You don't want to mistake. But I believe somebody 65 will know a little bit more than somebody 25. Or 35.
Amen.
Or 45. It's inevitable. There's 20 years more experience. And Rehoboam showed by his example that he had no wisdom. Brother Leroy called me the other day. And he said, "So tell me, how's everything coming with the building?" He's had a stroke. He's had the COVID. He's walking is very bad. He said, my brother-in-law said I won't be back for 6 or 7, 8 weeks to where I was. Some people have said that it may be longer than that. He said, but I think in a couple of weeks I'll be back. That's him. So my prayer is that in a couple of weeks, I wouldn't want to be a, because I have a problem with this. I have a problem with being a pessimistic downer. Anybody know what that is? Just, you know, Ashley and David got a free horse. I mean, a free one. That's the right price. Free one. And I'm so worried about that thing, I'm thinking, please don't let the youngest walk behind that horse and bust their brains out. He said, Dad, please. That's advice from old men. We was talking last night, Brother John, we was talking at the house about how them horses bite down and snatch. I went to school with a girl. A horse bit her. They had horses. And I went to school with a girl. The horse bit her on the back of the arm and bit a chunk out of her arm. Pulled it away from the bone. All her life, even today, she's still alive. There's a big chunk missing. A horse has got his own brain. But he ain't smart enough to tell you what 2 times 2 is. But he knows how to bite. And he knows how to kick. Call that a downer if you want to. I asked my wife, I said, do you think I'm just way too worrisome about things? Now, a lot of times she says things that really kind of grieves me. But you know what she said this time that really helped me? I worry. Do I do it? They can't hear you. I just want to hear her say amen one time. What? I worry about everything. Do y'all? Got grandchildren? Worry about the kids? Where y'all at? Where y'all at? You better call me, boy. Can I stay out past 11 months? No! I come up under old men. Just for you with girls. Faith's dad told me one time we was coming to church and we was going to go to a cousin's house and watch some kind of a movie. Went over to Tony's house after that. And I said, what time does she need to be home? He said, 11. 11? I said, 11 o'clock? He said, yeah. He said, why? Why you put my daughter out past 11? I said, oh, I didn't. Y'all didn't know him. Y'all knew him. He wasn't playing. There were some people, he said, I'll kill them. I don't make no difference to me. I'm an old man. They ain't going to take care of me in prison. Old men have got something to say. Why would you and I neglect it? Here's the problem. Here's the problem. One point, one problem, and I'm done. The reason is because they don't want to be told what to do. I admire Brother Bradley. I admire something about him, really. Not the car he has now, but the other car that he had. He had some work that he had to do on that car. You remember whenever you changed the timing chain or something, the time belt or something like that. I forget what it was. Interior motor work. I asked Brother Bradley, I said, did you take your car somewhere to get it fixed? He said, no, sir. He said, I got me some books and book videos or whatever, read about it. He said, just done it myself. I said, praise God that he can do that. That he was willing to try to do that. That'll help him down the highway of life somewhere. I'm just the opposite. My car messes up. Hey, Brother Joe. You got time to work on my car. I miss the Willard Thomases. I miss the Willard Thomases. You ain't got no idea how many times I called him. I miss old Brother Milford Biddle. I've called him. I said, Brother Biddle, I need to talk to you. I miss old Brother Paul Cornett. Paul Cornett, one of the greatest Christians, one of the greatest preachers I've ever crossed paths with. And when I went to his funeral in Morganton, North Carolina, I was literally heartbroken over what that preacher up there had. He didn't have nothing bad to say, but what he had to say about him. But then he let Brother Larry preach. And I got a blessing. The first man that preached was a young man. Real young. The new pastor there. But the second man that preached was an old man. And he had watched. He'd watched them come in and sit on the pews. He'd watched them be faithful for church. He'd watched them play instruments in the church. He'd watched them go through storms. He'd watched them fight the devil. He'd watched them do everything. Terry Anderson said this. He was a young preacher, and he was sitting on the platform, and his pastor was fixing to preach. He says, and I happened to look over there, and I seen my pastor take his leg and cross it and just put it over on his other leg. Nothing wrong with that. You wouldn't think. Would you think? What's wrong with that? He said, my old pastor reached over and patted me on the leg. He says, huh? No. He said, you're not old enough to do that. He said, you ain't got that much wisdom to make people think that you got everything under control. But yet people would go to him for advice because he's a Rehoboam. And what Solomon said, the old men that was there for him don't matter no more. Let's get back on track. Let's seek the Lord. Let's follow God's way. Let's rejoice evermore. And again I say, rejoice. Most old men, most older women are just laughed at and put out the pasture. My dad retired, and I didn't know what to do, Brother John. I'd never been in a condition where I pastored a church. This is the first church I've ever pastored. I pray it'll be the last. And I pray that ain't real soon, but I don't want to get no wrong thoughts in nobody's mind. Amen. But when Sister Vanessa, I don't know if I've told y'all this here, this. I'm talking about longtime members, Sister Mary. Y'all was here, you and Sister Kathy, before I ever took the church. But I didn't know what. I knew we should do something for our old pastor in his retirement. But I didn't know what to do. So I called an older pastor. He said this. He said, "You put that old war horse out to pasture and just let him graze on his own." He said, "God will judge you and that church." Yeah. Somebody scared me to death. Amen. I wanted to give him $1,500 a week. We couldn't right then. But it scared me because, you know why? Because the reality of truth set in. I'm glad that I didn't go to a young fellow like this that didn't know and say, "What do you think I ought to do from old pastor?" He'd probably say something, "Get him a gift card from Dairy Queen." That wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? But y'all know what I'm saying. Wonder what, if Solomon could have spoke, what would he have said about that boy? What are you doing listening? What are you doing listening to them that are just as unknowledgeable as you are? I'm just trying to say this morning, church. Let's stay on the right track with God. I know this ain't a shouting message, but maybe it's a message, an informative message that'll help us. Don't be swayed. Don't be swayed by every wind of doctrine. Stay on the right track and let God lead. Let's all stand together.